Okay, welcome back, folks. I'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. We've got some open time here to talk about anything, any issue. There's so many different issues. We were just talking about birthright, just citizenship. I recall, and this was about 6 years ago now, maybe, I was in Italy, and my wife and I happened to be on a tour, and we met a couple from Australia, and we ended up joining them for dinner that evening. And they were both retired teachers from Australia. They were traveling around, and they were leaving in a couple of days from Milan, and they were very anxious about their connections. And so we started talking about it, and they started telling me that, you know, they were about to hit their 6 months being abroad. They had been traveling for 6 months, and they needed to get back to the country. And if they didn't get back before that deadline date, they would have a problem getting out of the country, getting the necessary papers to get out of the country, because they didn't get back within that 6 month period of time. I've received a number of texts from people giving other country examples that they require that you come back to the country, and you cannot be outside of the territorial confines of that origin country for greater than 6 months, or you will have an issue. We don't have those restrictions here. And I'm not advocating that we should, but the fact of the matter is that what we say is, you know, not democratic, it's this, it's, you know, we all the names, right? It's racist, it's, you know, this, it's that. I mean, it's like craziness. And we, in most recent polls, Democrats have said over 50% said they would like to live in other countries. Well, the truth be told, those same people are ignorant in the first right and ignorant of the fact of what other countries require of you. And so I would suggest to all of those that believe that this place is a horrible place to live, that it's a horrible country, and that, you know, you just can't take it anymore. Well, go visit some of these other countries. Go do your homework. Go figure out whether your lifestyle, I mean, this, like, totally, you know, just mystifies me. I can't understand it. You know, we have the LGBTQ plus community here advocating for Palestinian rights, where because of your proclivity, you could be subject to public flogging, death, or otherwise. And that's not an exaggeration, but yet you are going to support that because you think that is the vogue thing to do, to be anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. And it just shows the level of ignorance of people advocating for a position, not knowing that the country that they're advocating for frowns upon their lifestyle, frowns upon the very human rights that they allegedly say that they're advocating for. The truth be told, they're not, because they don't even know. They're ignorant of the facts. They have not done their homework. They do not understand how this works. They'll take a position on immigration in this country and call this country terrible and call other countries abroad, you know, much better, I want to go live there, and they have more restrictive immigration policies than we have here. How do you square that up? It makes no sense. The real scary thing, as we are about to celebrate our 250th birthday, is how ignorant we truly are in this country. It's amazing to me. Ask high school students what 50 stars on the flag stand for. Well, I don't know. What's the capital of the United States? I don't know. Who was the first president? I don't know. It's absolutely amazing to me. Go ask the same age student in a foreign country, and it would be interesting. I would bet on the foreign country because they make sure that their students understand the history and the meaning behind the symbols of their country more so than we do in this country. And we wonder why. Well, when 50% of Democrats, 53 or 54% said they'd rather live in another country than the United States, what are you waiting for? Go. Try it out. Get a taste. Come back and tell us what you think it's all about. I mean, it's just the hypocrisy and the conflict of these positions is just absolutely incredulous to me. And the manner in which they conflate these issues when confronted with the bare facts is just, it's the highlight of the lack of critical thinking in this country. And this is the byproduct of our educational system, where we spend more time worried about ideology as opposed to, you know, so many other things that are a lot more important to them in their life than someone's ideological bent. The best teacher is the teacher that I wouldn't know if the teacher was a D, an R, an I, a this or that, whatever label, whatever letters behind a name, it doesn't matter. Those were the best teachers I ever had. The reason is that they were focused on the context of the subject matter that we were studying. And it's so relaxing to be in an environment where you don't have someone that's out there trying to play these mind games with you, right? I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be a student in some of these schools today. And then you read crap like this, you know. Colorado College, I think Colorado College, if my memory serves me correct, is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It is a private university. So this is what the brain trust there thinks. I mean, this is a real think tank, right? So they have a class, and it's an internship program that they sponsor, that will award academic credit to students who participate in political activism alongside left-leaning advocacy organizations. If you align right or you align moderate, you're it out of luck. Right? No bueno for you. So from June 11th through July 28th, it's going on right now, the Colorado College Social Action Institute is offering a student internship program designed to engage in activist and or advocacy work aimed at advancing participatory democracy by addressing the criminalization of immigrant communities, low-wage workers, and other vulnerable populations. They will receive credit if they work with community-based organizations in Colorado Springs, Denver, Albuquerque, or L.A. One of the three tracks is is called Immigration Detention Work and Movement Lawyering. And it allows students to assist attorneys representing immigrants while also participating, catch this, participating in efforts to shut down immigrant detention centers. Immigrant detention centers. So if you work aside a group that wants to shut down detention centers and immigration, you're going to get college credit. They're going to reward you with college credit to do so. Right? There's nothing illegal about immigrant detention centers. They have a lot of immigrants that violate laws that, you know, of this country, that you need some place to put them. There needs to be some accountability. But we're going to reward students for going out there, picketing in front of it, and, you know, being disruptive and efforts to shut down immigrant detention centers. And we wonder where all these people come from, right? You look at the video of some of these people, it's like, who are these people? Do they work? They've been out here for days. They're out here. A lot of them are your college students on internship programs getting college credit. I certainly hope there's no federal money going to Colorado College. If there is, they need to cut it off right now. It needs to be absolutely cut off. Because they're not worthy. We're going to give college credit to go out there, protest, and be disruptive and help advocate and shut down immigration detention centers. Have we lost our minds here? How did we get here? How did we get here? Look, I have no issue with students work side by side with immigration lawyers, running around, getting documents, doing what's necessary to advocate on behalf of that lawyer's client or anything else. But to go out and get credit to protest, to participate in efforts to shut down a detention center? Really? I mean, we have totally lost our minds. They're working with organizations such as CHRLA, Coalitions for Human Immigrant Rights of L.A., opposes deportations, calls for immediate immigration reform that includes a path to citizenship immediately for all undocumented people. None of this exists in the law, right? Opposing deportations. Why would we not want to deport somebody that's committed a murder, committed an armed robbery? Why would we want our taxpayer dollars to house these individuals if there's an alternative course that we can take and deport them out of the country? Why would we want to do that? It doesn't make any sense to me. And why would a university want to give kids college credit to go engage in these types of activities? And we sit around here and we wonder why the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, folks are getting elected. Well, this is why. The young adults in this country are being completely rewarded, brainwashed, offered carrots, assistance, and everything else for embracing an anti-government, anti-law and order, anti-structured society system in the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. And we wonder why we end up with communists. They call themselves socialists. Listen closely to what they say and then go to the definition. It's a simple process to figure out exactly who these people are and where they are. And why they are. And then when you look in their history about what they've been saying, it's anti-Semitic, anti-this, anti-that, they wordsmith around this, which is a nice way of saying lie, around this to bamboozle the public into thinking there's something that they're totally not. This is all going to come home to roost at some point in time. But the predatory action that needs to be taken and the rehabilitative action that needs to be taken right now by the federal government is do not finance these schools. Don't send them any money. Because one thing they understand, even though they're totally against a capitalistic system, is free money, government money. They understand that. They got that concept down. Totally got that concept. Bring an end to the money, and you bring an end to this silliness, where we're rewarding people in college, giving them college credit to be disruptors. Absolutely mind-boggling that we would allow ourselves to finance these operations. It just doesn't make any sense. All right, now on to something that's a little happier. I don't know if you got a chance to watch last night's men's team beat Bosnia and Herzegovina 2-0, played about 30-some-odd minutes, if my memory serves me correct, one man down as a result of a red card that probably I don't think should have been given. I thought it was inappropriate. But the interesting thing about this, folks, a lot of people don't know this rule. The penalty that's immediately imposed is that player is removed from the game and is not on the sidelines and, you know, is removed from the game. But that's not all. There is a minimum penalty of one game that you have to sit out. And that's not been determined as of the time that I came on the show this morning. There could actually be a multiple game penalty for that red card. We don't know. And in some cases, there is an appeal right of the decision, and in other cases, there are not. So it is yet to be determined as to what the ultimate penalty is going to be for the red card. Maybe since I've been on air, that has been decided and articulated. I don't know. I can trust my audience will let me know if it has, and I appreciate same. But I will tell you that this is problematic here. The gentleman that got the red card happens to be one of the best players on the U.S. team, a striker. He plays incredible soccer, football. The energy that he brings to the team is second to none. So it's a big loss for us in the game against Belgium that will be played Monday night. And still a lot of great games left to be played if you are following this knockout round. Portugal versus Croatia, Spain versus Austria, I think, is still out there. Argentina and Cape Verde, Australia, Egypt, Switzerland, Algeria, Colombia, Ghana, I believe, are still games to be played in the round of 32, making your way to the round of 16. And if you win there, you go to the quarterfinals in L.A. And if the U.S. was fortunate enough to make their way through, if they beat Belgium and they get to the quarterfinals, they would, they would play the winner of the Portugal-Croatia game, Spain-Austria game that would move there. And they would be in that bracket. So it'll be interesting to see where we are. Stay tuned. We'll be right back, folks. We'll visit with Priscilla Ron, Project 21 Ambassador, National Center for Public Policy and Research, former competitive tennis player, bodybuilder, and high school tennis coach. We'll talk about the U.S. Supreme Court that ruled that states can exclude transgender athletes from girls and women's sports. What does the decision mean for fairness, safety, and the future of women's athletics? We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that states can exclude transgender athletes from girls and women's sports. And joining us to talk about it is Priscilla Ron, Project 21 Ambassador, National Center for Public Policy Research, and former competitive tennis player, bodybuilder, and a high school tennis coach. Priscilla, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on today.
Priscilla, let me start this way. In your wildest dreams, did you ever think that on July the 2nd of 2026, you would be with me on a radio show, excited and celebrating a U.S. Supreme Court decision that says that it's okay to exclude biological males from competing with women.
It's the most bizarre thing to say. Yeah, I'm excited to have this conversation, but it's just bizarre that we have to have this conversation about something that is so common sense. But let's talk about it because we need to highlight what's been going on in our nation.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but I'm not a woman. I knew we were going to get to this point at some point. I just felt it. But athletes make so many decisions in their life, and they sacrifice so much for so long to compete, and that's at every level. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't have to be Olympic level, at every level. And then to have the rules changed like this is, like, absolutely incredulous.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people on the left have gone so far crazy. It's really disturbing that people think it's normal for a biological male to identify as a female and then compete, because there's no amount of drugs, there's no amount of surgery that will make it equal and fair. But it's just from a spiritual standpoint too, like, you know, God created men and women, and we are very, very different. But from just a competitive standpoint, we can see examples in swimming, for example, and in volleyball, the physical stature of these men just overwhelming women. And it is robbing us as women of scholarships and medals and just the ability to progress competitively in a sport that we love to compete in. It's just really unfair, but it's really sad, again, that it had to go all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was just kind of curious. I swam competitively all my life. And so I looked at some of the times that I posted, and I've gone to some of the times that are being posted of high school female swimmers today. And even I will celebrate my 50th reunion this year from graduating from high school. My times today would be in the top five of women in this state at the present time, 50 years later.
And wow, that,
you know, so I mean, it gives you an indication, I think, and highlights exactly what you just said.
Yeah, that's congratulations, by the way, for being an athlete. And this is, again, the thing about girls, young girls who aspire, you know, they go to their parks and rec and they get excited about playing sports, and then they get the bug and they find out they're really good at it, only to be told you have to compete against a male who has so many advantages. And we're seeing girls get hurt physically, and where their hopes and dreams are slashed permanently if they get injured. And so it's really important that states pass laws that protect girls in sports. You know, we've been fighting these types of, you know, gender battles for years when it came to voting and now Title IX, and the fact that it's 2026, as you mentioned, and we're still fighting this battle around what's fair and what's right for women. This should be something that every state takes a look at and says, we are not going to allow trans females into girls' sports.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, through so many different iterations in our life here recently, follow the science, believe the woman, and everything else. So when we go to female athletes, and I don't remember if it was you're a tennis player, so you would appreciate this. Either Venus or Serena Williams, I think it might have been Venus, did an interview with someone, and they asked her, you know, could you compete against males? Mm-hmm. Now, by any you know, way of looking at it, Venus and Sabrina were two of the most dominant female tennis players in the history of that game, right? They brought mm-hmm. a strength to that game that you typically did not see very often. And they candidly said, no way, I'd lose 6-0, 6-0. Mm-hmm. We would be out of there so quick it wouldn't even be entertaining. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you wonder, it's kind of like, well, why are we not believing the woman? I mean, do we really believe that she's going to go and lie about that? I mean, she trains against males all the time, right? She knows mm-hmm. The quality of the game and the speed of the game being far, far greater and faster with males than females.
Yeah, I really appreciated that they both had that perspective, because it's true. When you're looking at the difference between male and female tennis, you know, women, we go 3 sets. Men can go up to 5 sets. And that's physically, you know, exhausting to go that many more sets. But, you know, yeah, the girth, the time, all of that, just God has created men to be able to do so much more physically than we as women. And that's not to knock us as women. We're just built and designed physically different than men. And that's okay. You know, I think as women, we're okay with being great athletes and being feminine and understanding what our physical limitations are, but that's, you know, by design. And so for men to think that they can come into our spaces and compete and strip away the things that we have worked so hard for, it's just preposterous. And it's just preposterous that lawmakers think that that's fair and justifiable. And, you know, trying to talk to people on the left about this topic, it's dumbfounding. And so we just need to bring common sense back. And this actually is, you know, I think an 80-20 issue, even for a lot of, you know, liberals or Democrats who say, you know, there's a line, you know, that's being crossed. We recognize that this isn't fair. And so we are seeing more common sense decisions going back towards, hey, if you're a man and you want to play sports, you know, for every problem, there's a solution, right? But the solution is not to allow biological men into girls' sports, into girls' spaces.
A couple of follow-ups, Priscilla, if you don't mind. I'm watching mainstream media report out on the Supreme Court decision and almost apologetically, you know, trying to, like, sanitize themselves or whatever. I'm not even sure what to call it. Preemptively tell the audience, look, we're going to use some words only because they're in the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court. Biological male, biological female. How did we get to this point?
I'm a cis woman, I'm a cis man. Like, it's just, no, you're a man or you're a woman, you know? You're male or you're female. XX, XY, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and for a female athlete, I mean, like I said, in your wildest dreams in 2026, you're celebrating this. I mean, and then to go to actually female reporters apologizing for you for saying these words, and then following that up with the word so-called female sports. What does that mean, so-called female? I'm sure you heard that biological woman actually say that, so-called female sports. Now, it really upset me because, in fact, people think sometimes I'm a little crazy, but I enjoy watching women's basketball more than men's basketball. And because I think it's more of the old style of basketball, setting picks and, you know, things of that nature, moving the ball around. And I enjoy that. But this so-called women's sports, it's interesting way to describe
female
sports activities.
I'm Gen X. I'm not millennial or Gen Z. So I'm old school. Okay. I didn't have cell phones, internet. I played outside till the lights came on. This generation, this what's happening right now is I blame government education, public school. We're raising kids. Anything goes, right? Anything goes. You know, there's no, you know, real truth to anything. Like, this is what we're seeing, this social contagion of, you know, you can be anything and there's no male or female, there's no truth, it's just like whatever. And then you give them a microphone and they're on the news and they're repeating this. And they're surrounded in a, you know, they're in a silo of other people going, oh, yeah, you know, men can be women, men can get pregnant, and guys, you know, acting like they're having periods and cramps. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing. It is not normal. This is not sanity. It's insanity that we had to go to the Supreme Court to say, no, boys, this is your lane. You stay out of girls' spaces. And that's where we are. And I'm just hoping this pendulum starts to swing back to common sense, that people start saying, no, it's not okay. And we are seeing this. Parents, young parents, I'm so proud of them right now, saying, oh, no, we're not going to allow boys into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and getting undressed. Like, that's not okay. So we are starting to see some common sense go, you know, come back, but it needs to happen a lot faster. We just need to, like, put the brakes on this movement around saying so-called, I'm a cis, male, cis, you know, so-called everything like you were mentioning. It's just ridiculous.
So the decision comes down, basically, every state gets to decide for themselves, right? Which was kind of an interesting outcome. How do you think this is going to play out politically? Obviously, this is going to become a big political issue in some states. I think there are 20-some-odd states, correct me if I'm wrong, that don't allow biological males to play in female sports. So there's still quite a few states that have some kind of accommodation. And to the extent of locker room access and if you don't like it as a female, you have to provide an alternative place to change clothes and shower and maybe not shower. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in the blue states like California, I live in Colorado, which doubles down anytime something like this happens. They go, hold my beer. We're going to do something even more ridiculous, and they're going to pass more laws. But what we'll see is what we're seeing already nationwide. Our parents are going to pull their kids out of public schools and say, you know, we have other options. We're going to homeschool. We're going to go to private schools or charter schools that are going to stand for the values that we believe in. And we're seeing a mass exodus, and schools are closing buildings because there's not enough students. And I think the pressure will come when it starts really impacting pocketbooks of school districts, where they go, we don't have enough kids at school. Well, parents are saying, you need to knock off all this ridiculous stuff, educate our children, protect our girls, and then we'll talk about sending our kids back to the schools. But that's what we're seeing in the blue states. The red states are doing a good job of protecting girls and making common sense decisions. But I think some of these, we're seeing in Colorado where they just elected more, you know, socialists, communists to go to Congress. I mean, there's a movement with this new Democrat generation of saying we don't like America, we don't like the values. And so it's just going to be really interesting to watch across the nation what happens.
You coach young girls still, I'm assuming. Is that right?
I'm not coaching at the moment, but I've coached from T-ball all the way up to high school sports.
What do you hear from these young ladies today?
They don't want to compete with boys. In fact, we're seeing news reports of girls refusing to even compete. Teams of girls refusing to compete if there is a biological male on the other team. And I'm proud of them for that. They're making a stand. And I think we need to have girls to have that type of courage to say, we're going to stand for us as girls. And hopefully the system will catch up. We know the Olympics have caught up with that, and we need to send a message nationwide that we need to go back to common sense.
Absolutely. Priscilla Ron, Project 21 Ambassador, National Center for Public Policy Research, thank you so much for joining us today. And again, congratulations on this outcome. But again, why it was ever necessary is still mind-numbing to me, and I'm sure to you as well. Thank you so much, and have a great 4th of July celebration.
Thank you. Happy birthday, America.
All righty, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us. Oh, we've got a few minutes available here. Let's go to the talk lines. Jamie, you're up. What say you?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, folks?
Doing great, Jamie. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just wanted to comment on this trans thing, man. I feel like trans should play with trans. They should come up with something where they compete against each other. I don't feel like they should compete against women. Just like that trans that was in jail, got all those females pregnant. I say this retarded to even think about making this legal. Like, I think this is crazy, bro. You know, to have.
Yeah, you know, Jamie, it's interesting. I'm like, be whatever you want to be. Be whatever makes you happy. You know, cause I'm socially moderate. I don't really care, and I'm not judgmental. But don't go trampling on the rights of others when it's clear that scientifically, biologically, you have an advantage. And, you know, it's just not fair. And I agree with you. If you go create a trans league, if that's what you so desire. But don't go trying and trample the rights of females that have made sacrifices all their life. And your junior year of college, you're participating as a man, and your senior year in college, you're now participating as a woman because now you identify as a female. And then you enter the locker room, and the school's reaction is that the females that are uncomfortable with your presence in the locker room, that they have to make the accommodations for themselves to exercise the modesty that they decided that's what they're comfortable with, in order to accommodate the male, biological male, I'm going to say it, cancel me, the biological male in the locker room, his rights now are more important than the female. None of this is making any sense. This is craziness. I mean, this is like a bad dream that we are actually celebrating a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that says it's okay not to let biological males compete against women. This is a cuckoo world. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll talk about the grand jury investigation of Louisiana AG Liz Merle. And we'll also talk about the judiciary and some of the issues going on there. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL.